Okay, our next presentation, sand capping death based on moisture retention curves. Brown McCarty from Clemson University presenting. PJ Brown.
Thank you, Dr. Crozier. Yep, I am Philip Brown. I'm here to present on sand capping depth based on retention curves. You're probably realizing right now that I don't sound like your average South Carolinian, but I'll try and throw in the odd y'all to keep it straight. Sand capping, what is sand capping really? Sand capping is applying a certain depth of sand on top of a sports field. Usually it's because we've got poor drainage. It's to increase playability, I suppose. So we're going to try and lower the water table. We choose sand for sand capping because it's got these macro pores, is what we're after. We're after rapid drainage. We're trying to get that water off there quickly. And the trouble is with sand, you will often get it drains too well, and you can get quite dry soils, and it doesn't really retain a great deal of nutrients, so it's got its limits as well. Problem we're looking at is that there really isn't a current kind of a standard for scientifically determining these sand capping depths, and there's a lot of research that's gone on. All of these people have suggested certain depths that we should be looking at, and based on a variety of different methods, air entry point, perch water table, airfill porosity, water fill porosity, field capacity, gravimetric water content, arbitrary depth is just picking out a certain depth. And one time I was in a bar having a couple of beers, and I just ended up talking to someone in the construction industry, and it turned out that he actually did some sand capping. And I asked him, you know, how deep do you go? He just said 3 inches. I asked him why he went 3 inches. He said, because it works. So there's certain arbitrary depths that people just come up with. So the objective, and I suppose I can read straight from the slide for this one, to assess the appropriate depths of sand capping, athletic fields or golf course fairways based on moisture retention curves. And that picture's on there because it's a nice little picture of preferential flow. It's just in the bottom there, you can see where the water has followed that column all the way down. It's quite a nice little picture. I thought I'd throw that in there. So the experimental setup. We're looking at 2 sand depths and 3 tensions. I'll get into those a little bit later because right now they don't make a great deal of sense. I'm going to talk more about the sands at the moment. So we've got the USGA sand, and what we've got here is 45 coarse and 55 medium. This is almost like a best case sand that we can possibly come up with. It was sieved, I measured out as 45, 55. Then we've got a mixed sand, and this one's got very coarse, medium, fine, and very fine sand in there, so hopefully it's going to be slightly worse, but it's a more typical scenario. You usually aren't going to be able to get hold of that USGA spec sand. And then we just thought we'd throw in a worst case scenario, and this is a 100% fine sand, so we should get pretty poor drainage out of that one with any luck. Here's actually my setup. It looks a little rustic, but it works quite nicely. We have the hanging water columns, and then we've got our tension outlet just down at the bottom there. And as we move the tension away from the hanging water columns, we're increasing the tension on the sand, and the idea is we pull more and more water out. I went with 2.5 centimetre increments, so we move down 2.5 centimetres each time. We tried to pack it about the same for each sand. It's a little tricky, but we've got the same volume and the same weight in there, so we're trying to get the same bulk density for each sand that goes into that column. And then we collected water at the outlet. If we know our porosity, we know our volumetric water content at the start, and we can just keep on deducting the water from there. And in that case, we can build these retention curves as we go along. So this is my first retention curve, so I'll just set it up. On the y-axis, we have volumetric water content. That's centimetres cubed of water per centimetre cubed of soil. And then across the x-axis, we have our tension. We're going up in 2.5 centimetre increments up to 50 centimetres. This one actually turned out really nicely. This is the USGA-style sand. The USGS-style sand shouldn't have a great deal of pore range sizes. It should be fairly limited in pore range size, and that's what it turned out to do. It goes along, and about 10 to 12 centimeters, all of a sudden we get a huge drop-off, and all of the water drains in a very short space of time. And that was really what we were hoping for, because we've just got that single or just a short range of pore sizes, and then it dries down all the way to the bottom, and it gets very, very dry down at the bottom there, so we aren't pulling a great deal of water out in the bottom. So that was very nice. Mixed sand was also nice, just wasn't quite what I was expecting, really. It goes a little bit further, because we've got a wider range of pores, so it's not going to drain quite as easily. And then it doesn't drain as rapidly when it actually does start draining. It's a much longer drainage period, because the pore range is much greater. And it also never fully drains. It never dries down as much as the USGS sand. And the fine sand behaves exactly what we are expecting it to. It just doesn't drain whatsoever. And then once we get to close to 40 centimetres, suddenly it pops and we start getting a little bit of drainage. Because we've got these finer pores, it doesn't drain quite as nicely. So these were our original moisture retention curves. Now from there we're going to get on to the next kind of phase of what we were looking at. And we started constructing columns using 1 centimetre sections of PVC pipe that were taped together. And we set 3 drainage regimes up. So we've got 0 tension, so it's a poorly drained soil, it doesn't drain very well at all. Then at 15 centimetres of tension we've got an intermediate, and then we've got 30 centimetres which should drain very, very rapidly and nicely. So those are our 3 drainage regimes. And then we went with 2 soil depths to start off with. These are our arbitrary depths, 7.6 centimetres and 15.2 centimetres, or 3 and 6 inches is what we're looking at here. The columns were allowed to drain on the moisture retention, on the porous plates at the certain tensions, and then they were separated and dried. So here's an example of one just sitting there draining down, and then it was taken off once the dripping had stopped and we could separate it, get a dry weight, get a wet weight. Then we can work out bulk density based on your volume, so you've got your volumetric water content of each section. These are larger sections, but these are just for example. And then dried down, there's a picture of some of the little PVC pipes and a bottom section looking pretty damp. These are a next set of graphs. I need to set these up again because I've been told they're a little confusing. Y-axis stays the same, volumetric water content. X-axis, we've got tension. And these tensions are based on each section of the PVC pipe. So 1 centimetre, or 1 is the first centimetre of the PVC pipe. So that's the one closest to the porous plate. That's going to be the wettest. And then as you get higher and higher, up to 7.6 centimetres in this case, they're going to dry down a little bit. And then we have our three soil tensions. So we've got 0 centimetres worth of tension, which would be the wettest, 15 and 30. And this came out exactly how we'd like it to. The USGA sand at three inches or 7.6 centimetres didn't drain particularly well with the at 0 tension, stayed quite wet the whole time. At 15 centimetres worth of tension, so if we put a little bit of drainage on the bottom of a 15 centimetre sand, we can actually get quite a nice drainage. 30 centimetres just drained everything incredibly well. It's far too dry, it would be too dry to actually grow anything on. But the 15 centimetres seems like it's a possibility, could work. Now when you double the depth up to 15.2 centimetres or 6 inches, the 0 tension actually does start to drain quite nicely. So if you double the depth, you can counteract the lack of drainage in there. So a 15 centimetre column will actually drain, as well as one that's been drained with 15 centimetres worth of tension. Again, the 30 centimetres worth of tension, it just drains everything incredibly well. So there's no real trouble there. Mixed sand. So this is the mixed sand, same thing, but the mixed sand, it doesn't drain as nicely. It stays wetter because we've got more pore sizes, finer pores in there. The water just doesn't run through quite as easily. So 0 centimeters worth of tension, it stays wet the whole way. At 15, it's still probably a bit too wet to really be usable. 30 centimeters worth of tension just strips that water out no matter what at the moment. I was hoping that maybe with the mix sand we might see something with the 30 centimeters worth of tension. It might kind of slow it down a little bit, but it didn't. And then this is the mix sand with 15 centimeters worth of tension on it. 15 centimeters columns. So with zero tension, we're getting very little drainage still. So we've doubled the drainage depth, and we still aren't really getting enough drainage for it to be feasible to be used. With 15 centimeters worth of tension, we're getting quite a nice curve. It drops down, it breaks, it goes down. It might be a little bit too dry towards the end at the bottom there, and the 30 centimeters worth of tension, again, it's far too efficient for its own good. And then the fine sand was just really in there just as a comparison. Fine sand just didn't drain. Even with 30 centimeters worth of tension on, we're not really getting a great deal of breaking that fine sand. So from this we can kind of start making a few conclusions. Basically, USGA style sand is going to perform the best. It's got the larger pores, it's going to drain rapidly. The trouble is it might drain a little bit too well towards the end, but in general, if you can get the USGA style sand, you're the best off. And then if the mixed sand performs better, fine sand, if you end up trying to build a sand capping with fine sand, you're in for a torrid time, I think. The poorer the sand, the deeper the capping depth required to counteract the poorness of the sand. So by doubling the capping depth, we can actually make the sand capping work. And creating a tension at the base of the system or a drainage at the bottom of the system, you can actually counteract your poor sands. Your poorer sand, if you can get some kind of drainage down at the bottom, you can actually counter or offset your idea if you can't get an ideal sand. Future research, or rather it's more ongoing research rather than future research. What we're doing is we're taking the recommendations from the authors mentioned earlier on in the presentation, and we're actually using their information to create certain sand depths. And so instead of just having the 3 inches and the 6 inches, we're going to have an array of sand depths that we can look at and decide which one, whether any of the recommendations actually come out well and if they're appropriate. And then further research into the mixed sands. The mixed sand I chose was probably too nice. It was probably stacked too much in the coarsened medium. So I'd like to use some other mixed sands that have got more fines in there. Also under microscope, it was quite rounded. I'd quite like to see if we used a bit more sharp sand, how that would affect the retention curves as well. So those are the kind of the future research that we're looking at. And with that, I'd like to answer any questions that anyone may have.
You have 2 minutes for questions.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any ideas on the relative costs of the USGA sand you tested versus the mixed sand you tested?
The question was on the relative costs of USGA sand and mixed sand. I don't actually have the costing of those, but a USGA sand is going to cost considerably more than a mixed sand. Mixed sand you can just buy off, but USGA sand has got to be sieved out, so there's additional costs there. Yes, sir?
Most parent material for the sands that you used?
The question was, what was the parent material of the sands that we used? It was mostly quartz silicon-based sand. It's basically standard top dressing sand from the local golf course. Yes.
For your retention curve, you use dry sand, air dry sand, to pack your column.
The question was referring to packing of these soil columns.
Yeah.
What we actually did was we followed Hummel's recommendation. So we wetted them up, allowed them to drain at 40 centimetres, then compacted them using, I think, is it 3.03 kilojoules per centimeter squared or something like that. So we compacted them with a kilogram weight, and so they're all, when they were built in those columns, they should all have the same packing. But obviously with soil and sand, it's quite hard to get exact packing, but we've tried to keep it as uniform as possible.
All right, well, thank our speaker.